Welcome to the Hey Rody Podcast, a deep dive into the Ocean State, taking a granular look into the people, places, and everything in between that inspires such big love for the smallest state. Hey Rody Podcast is an extension of the Hey Rody Media Co. magazines you already know and love. Today with us, we have Denise Kowalczyk. She is a multifaceted creative and second act entrepreneur specializing in online relationship marketing strategies for women-owned small businesses. As a digital creator, she focuses on building a fulfilling life through small adventures aiming to inspire women to achieve their best lives. Additionally, she is the founder of Dames Who Do RI and Dames Who Dine RI, which are social groups that celebrate Rhode Island's offerings, and is an inspiring author, filmmaker, and actress with a passion for connecting with new people.
I love your radio voice, by the way.
Thank you. That's my book reading voice.
I was like, oh my God, this is Teacher Jenna, everyone.
Yep.
Hey, thanks for coming back to our second episode with Jenna and I as the host. As you could tell, that was not Sasha and I am not Nick. And we're really excited. So this was such a fun episode. What was your reaction afterwards with meeting Denise? Remember I gave you a heads up and like it's going to be a whirlwind.
Yeah. I want her to be my new best friend. I think she is amazing. She was such like an inspiration. And even from the podcast, like the hour that we sat with her, I feel like I learned so much.
Oh my God. It just for folks to know, it went so well. And if you heard that episode, like, did they all just become friends? Yes, because we are going to be going out with Denise. I think next month we're all sitting down to grab some coffee pretty soon.
Yup.
Yeah, or a speakeasy. I don't know if we got down to it. This was, I don't remember if we talked about it in the episode, but it was kind of a very full circle moment for me because I met Denise at what was the What She Writers Club, which is now Lit Arts RI, like 5 years ago when they opened, because she had a podcast at that time and so did I. And then we ended up meeting, I had family who lived in Portland, so we just hit it off really well. So we ended up doing each other's podcast. And then just one of those people I just would stay in touch with over the years. So it was like kind of cool because one of my goals for a long time was to be a professional podcast host.
Yeah.
And now I am. And you never had that goal and you just walked right into it. No big deal. I'm not jealous. Only took me a decade.
I know. I'm like, oops.
No, I'm so proud. I'm happy for both of us. So it was like really cool. Like this, like, look at us, Denise, 5 years later. And we're like, we're doing the damn thing. Like right? I was working in healthcare when I met her and being like, what? You could just make your own money?
I know, like, that's amazing.
Without a job, I know, it was wild. And I think, I love her perspective because she's from, or spent a lot of all that time in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
And so she has a different lens to the East Coast, which is funny, nobody calls it the East Coast out here.
I know, seriously. Nobody does.
Like, I remember when I went to college, a lot of people from all over the country, and people like, yeah, I'm from the West Coast, and like, East Coast, I'm like, the East Coast is like Maine to Florida. It's there's like New England, the South, Florida,
maybe? Florida, yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a geography major.
Right. I actually never passed that quiz in high school. I remember my teacher was actually like laughing because I couldn't even name all the states.
I mean, who can?
Right? Seriously. But
you were a teacher, which is, I still think, pretty cool.
Which is terrifying.
I know. Did you, I was listening back to this episode. I was like, why did I ask her? Why do I talk half the time? But at some point, I'm like, do you have undiagnosed ADHD? And then we took a turn.
And then it was clear that, yes, we all do have
Yes, we do. So before we kind of want to jump in the episode, so like, what's going on with Jenna? What's new in your world? Oh, God, I said that weird.
Honestly, not much.
Let's keep that in so Shelly can make fun of me.
Yeah. Shelly, this is for you.
Yeah.
Honestly, not much. Just getting ready for the Leading Ladies party that's coming up at the end of March.
Oh,
so
I can't wait.
Been promoting that online and just making memes, really.
I love that. Professional meme maker.
Literally, that's what my job is.
Yeah, the Leading Ladies party is coming up. We have, what is that, our March issue? Is this recording just came out? And then April, will be the next month, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marshalline ladies, grab a copy as always. If you don't can't find one, it's then when you hear this, shoot us a DM, and we'll if we can mail you one, you will. If we have some to mail, we will. We can send you a digital copy. We want everyone to know. That's gonna be a good time. I'm excited for the party. It's actually my first one. I've never been to one of these.
I know, me neither.
I've heard they get a little off the hook.
We'll have we'll let the listeners know after.
Yeah, so this is open to the public, so you can grab your tickets on Eventbrite. You know, follow us, any of the socials we'll be posting about this that Jen will be doing, so that'd be a good time. Yeah, I've been hearing some tales that the Hey Roadie Media people get a little lit. Well, if the Christmas party is any indication.
No, I don't. I'm disengaging from this convo because
just
I was part of the problem.
No, you were good. Everyone was very, it was actually really sweet and emotional. But the food, oh my God. And then I walked away with like so many gift cards to India from Luann.
So many.
Luann at some point was just handing me drink tickets. And I'm like, but I drink Shirley Temples. So yeah. I think everyone thought I was drinking alcohol. And I went like through like seven Shirley Temples. I'm like, not my money.
You're like, no, it's just a sugar rush.
It's just sugar. It's so cool. You watching anything good on TV at the moment? Love is Blind.
Love is Blind, obviously.
Yeah, that was so funny.
About it, though.
I feel like I need to watch that.
You 100% have to.
I know. Everyone's been talking about it. And then you and Anthony, we just did one with from Anthony from Skix Barber. That was really fun. And yeah, that was a good time.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, one thing we should address is originally our second episode was supposed to be with our other, the former host, Sasha. Some things, technical difficulties, some things happened where we had to move around the release order. So apologies for that, Sasha, but that episode will be released, or she will definitely be coming back on. And before we jump into it, make sure you follow Denise at shepvd.com, theadventurebroad.com. And if you're listening to this within the first couple days, get your butt down to AS220 for ShePVD.
Woo woo.
Yeah. Isn't Denise the like really, I was also inspired. I was just like, I'm like, wait, you just think of cool things and find people to do it with and then do it?
Yeah, it's like, I feel like I'll maybe think of a few cool things, but then I never continue on with it. And she is like the definition of someone who just gets after it.
Yeah. I don't even know if she's even making money from SheepVD. I don't know if this is part of her job or just a hobby, but she like, they found a venue, they found sponsorship, they found talent. Like, that's hard work.
Oh yeah.
So it should be a really great event. I'm really excited. I'm hopeful to be there, but when you have small children, don't ever count on seeing us anywhere. And follow Denise on the old Instagram. One great thing about her is an influencer for those over 50, which is pretty cool because there's a lot of 50-year-olds on the internet doing a lot worse stuff than her. So kind of cool to see someone out there like who's in their 50s being like, here's some art and food and cool acting gigs. So we're super excited. So I guess we should have a good catchphrase before we get into it. And since currently we're just talking about the bear all the time, I think should our intro for now on be "Let It Rip"? Or we could put a thing on the Instagram, do a poll of how we should start every episode. Be like,
yeah,
let it rip.
Let's let it rip.
Yes. All right, everyone. Let's let it rip.
Woo woo.
Well, welcome to the Hey Roadie podcast. We're so happy to have you today. We like to start off asking our guests, everyone, the same first question. What do you think makes Rhode Island so great?
Okay, first, thank you so much for inviting me. I was very much looking forward to this conversation. And I had to pick like one thing?
No. This is just our jumping off point. Because you are Miss Rhode Island for someone who's not from here.
Yeah, so good golly, Miss Molly. Okay, so I moved to Providence, Rhode Island, sight unseen from the Pacific Northwest. And I did some research because that's the kind of gal I am. And what attracted me to Rhode Island, one is, of course, the proximity to the ocean, which was very important to me. The proximity to be close enough to big cities, but not be a big city. So that's great. And it's a small town feel.
Yeah.
I also love that it is a foodie culture.
Oh, yeah.
As well, because I love to eat food and good food. And also the thriving arts and culture. So much vibrancy here with AS220. That was one of the first organizations or entities that I found on my research. Then with the theaters, with Trinity Rep, that was another place that came up on my research. And I thought, Oh, and then there was a stat, which I didn't realize, I didn't make the connection till recently. It has the most coffee shops per capita. And I'm like, how are they beating Portland, Oregon or Seattle? And well, it's Dunkin' Donut.
Oh.
And so I had no idea this was Dunkin' heaven here. Yeah. You know, so someone just said, I said, why was that stat happening? I don't see all these cafes. And it said, Dunkin'. I said, oh my God, makes total sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So all those things. And once I got here, someone used a phrase to describe folks who live here as aggressively friendly. And I said, oh my goodness, I found my people.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I would say so. And you know, we've known each other through that.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a word for it. Because like in music, you'd call it like the music scene. But I guess creative art scene maybe?
Well, Well, isn't this the creative capital?
It is.
Providence is.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
That was another thing that came up because in Portland, I had a long career in radio. It's a very creative community there, very collaborative there, rich in music. So creativity has always been something that was very important to me. So when that came up in my research, I said, okay. This place is looking better and better.
I love that. Because you're someone like we met at Cheer Club, now Lit Arts RI. But you're one of those people, like there's like a group of people that I guess you'd call like the creative scene that you see in a lot of, like they're always at Pachacachas or Stranger Stories or they're at the What Cheer Club or you run into them at the coffee shops. Like there's like a Providence art scene that you've become pretty well known in and have done a lot for, which is kind of leads us exactly why you came here today.
Yeah.
She PPD Fest.
Yes, it's so exciting. I just saw our ad in your magazine.
Oh. Yay!
And it looks gorgeous. So props to the person who designed
that for us.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Yes, so golly, how did that all come about? Okay, so in Portland, there's an organization or an event called Siren Nation Fest. Now, pre-pandemic, this is what it looked like. I have no idea what it looks like because I haven't
been there a while
since pre-pandemic times. So it happens every November. It's women led and women centric. And in November, a couple of weeks or so, they have they coordinate with music venues around the city to have female performers, art showings, other events, learnings and workshops. And then through the course of the year, they'll have special events like Dolly Parton tribute night. I never saw that.
Gosh. Oh.
Yeah, they still do it and other events. But what I loved about it, I did a public access TV show called Our Eclectic PDX. And I interviewed one of the founders and it just blows me away, all the creativity and how they support women artists. And I thought, is there something like that in Rhode Island? So I started doing my research and started asking around, and there is a plethora of incredible creative women in mm-hmm. this state. But I thought, gosh, wouldn't it be fun to put together an event to showcase a few of these gals, right? So I started asking around, seeing if I can find someone who wanted to, you know, kind of play in the sandbox together. Didn't get any takers immediately. And then I volunteered at TEDx Providence. Was that last year?
At Bryant?
No, that's TEDx Bryant. TEDx Providence was at the Mets? The Vets.
Oh.
The Vets.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm remembering your Facebook posts as you're talking about like, oh, I remember seeing you do that. I remember seeing you do that.
I was actually at both of those.
Yeah.
I was at TEDx Bryant.
Not surprised.
My friend Kristen Capaldi was speaking there and then I volunteered at TEDx Providence. Chris Donovan of Pachacacha recruited me to help as a volunteer because I'm a big volunteer person. So I went there and during, I guess after the event, hanging out with some other volunteers and something prompted me to bring up, gosh, I wish there was this festival of almost like a variety show, if you will, showcasing different kinds of performance. And I was talking to two gals and one of them was Alyssa.
Oh.
And she goes, I would help with that. And I said, okay, let's do it, girl.
Love that.
So we put our noggins together and She PVD was born, co-founded by the two of us, coming up with some clever ideas, and we're super excited.
And it's going to be at AS220?
Yes, it's at AS220. So shout out to Janae and other folks there at AS220. They've been really great to work with. It's going to be Friday, March 8th, International Women's Day. Hello.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And we are going to have quite the lineup. And it is a free community event. I want to give some props as to why it's a free community event, if I may.
Please.
Okay, first off, to the City of Providence Arts, Culture, and Tourism, thank you so much. They gave us a grant. The Providence Tourism Council gave us a grant. And GatherRI gave us, they're serving as a sponsor. GatherRI is a new entity, a new nonprofit coming to Rhode Island. The same gal who helped launch or did launch LitArtsRI. What's Your Flower Farm? So it's going to be a space and programming that is women-centric, library of biographies, artwork, and things of that nature. So those folks, because they're underwriting the costs, made the event for free. And everyone's getting paid.
That's incredible.
Whoa.
The creative field.
Yeah, yeah. So that was critical when Alyssa and I were planning.
Yeah.
We wanted to make sure that everyone, you know, the talent usually is like, oh, will you come do this for free? I didn't want to do that. So that's very exciting too.
That is awesome, especially in this economy. It's like you never know.
Yeah, especially in the creative world or the arts, it's notorious. I'm sure we both have some stories of paychecks that didn't arrive to us from some projects we've worked on.
I'll
air that laundry another day for everybody. There's one I'm still very angry about.
Yeah. Oh, we'll have to talk off mic about that. Yeah. I need details.
Yeah. I one time spoke about it on a live podcast recording and bit me in the butt a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be a little aware of what's said on the microphone.
It's so funny that you say that because you said that you volunteer a lot. And I guess that's how it's like, that is the best way I would kind of describe you, because safe to say you kind of know everyone. Like, example,
I don't know everyone, but I know a lot of people.
That's fair. I was with my business partner Nathan yesterday at Lit Arts. We were working on something, and he's just sitting there, and he's just like, I don't know why, and I hear him like mumbling Denise Kowalczyk. I was like, wait, huh? And then his wife Julia, who you had met at some event somewhere down the line, Julia Krasnow. And I was like, Nathan, I met with her. We had met for a meeting too. A wealth of knowledge. And I was just like, that's like, what?
Well, that's so Rhode Island, really. Mm-hmm. That's part of the thing.
That's what I love about it.
No matter where you go, when you're talking to someone within 15 minutes, you know the same five people. And because it is such a small state, that's one of the benefits of it. You know, Oregon is huge. Okay. And back then when I lived there, when I first moved there in the mid 90s, that was more of a small town, a city with a small town feel, which is what the vibe I get in Providence. But when I moved here, I'm not shy. I don't know if you picked that up about me. I'm not shy. But I knew if I wanted to build a community, to get engaged in the community, I had to get out there and start talking to folks. And one of the key ways to do that is to volunteer. So the first place I'm like, oh, that Trinity rep? Oh, they have volunteer ushers. Signed right the heck up. And that's how I got to experience some of the theater in the city. And then I got to meet folks. And then I got to hear about this and that. And then I went to Lippitt House, which is part of Preserve Rhode Island's programming, volunteered there. Then I started doing episodic, like, I'm losing my words. What's the big city festival?
PVD Fest.
Thank you.
Yes.
PVD Fest and other events throughout the year. And you just start making friends with people.
It's great.
It's so much fun. I highly encourage folks to volunteer. It's such a win-win.
And I think that's a really, really important point. And I think your story is really inspiring because, you know, you weren't like 21 when you moved here.
But I'll be very truthful because that's a very interesting, and thank you for bringing it up.
It's so hard to make friends.
So I'm at the time of this recording, 59 years old. So do the math. I moved here just about almost 5 years ago. So in my mid 50s, moved to a city that I've never been to.
Didn't know anyone.
Didn't know a diddly squat. And it has been quite an epic adventure, hence the name, The Adventure Broad.
And it, I know that's part of your brand and your coaching and all that. And but it's so inspiring, especially nowadays. Like, you know, there's this whole thing of like the death of the third place. Like, you know, when I was like, my grandparents had bowling alleys and people have churches. Some people go to church. Mm-hmm. But there's not a lot of places outside of libraries anymore that you can go and not spend any money. And there's not like, it's really, it used to be. So it's really, and the way the world has changed, like you don't have to know your neighbors anymore. It's very easy to not know anyone.
Yeah.
So it's work to go out. And the older you get, it's harder to make friends.
You make, again, a very important point, I think, and I'm not going to say this exactly right, but I think loneliness is like the new smoking or something, or is that standing or sitting or something like that. But in any event, loneliness is an epidemic.
Yes, it is.
And I, as a matter of fact, another project. So I'm a multi-passionate creative. I do a lot of things. And so one of the things I'm working on is a story, which is going to be a play first and then a film.
So cool.
Called The Dames of Rhode Island. And the premise, the concept or the idea came from, I do a women's social group called Dames Who Do, and I partnered up with a gal, and we brought a few women together, went down to Newport, did a little walking, had a delicious meal, and we were like bonded. And so for the next year, roughly, every month practically, we would get together because we had formed a girls group.
You need that.
You know?
Yeah.
And I was so struck by how powerful that was because that's not very common.
No.
Especially as you get older. And I think it's important and it's harder, but I want to inspire other older women to not be afraid, especially, oh gosh, we're going to just go down a feminist rabbit hole here, but
you're on the right place.
That
we're pro women. I assume, right?
Right. Yeah.
Because yeah. If you weren't.
Imagine I'm like,
But I think, and it's changing. There's so many shifts, of course, in our culture. But women are not usually taught how to go out and be adventurous, right? And go out and sow your wild oats like you. I'm being so gender specific. Forgive me. But my generation, I didn't grow up here. I'll just say that. Yeah. I didn't grow up to go out and have your adventure. The sky's the limit, you know, yada, 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 yada. But what is the expression, you know, the world is our oyster? Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Yes.
I always get those things mixed up. But it is. And when you take a moment to be really intentional and mindful and say things out loud, even if it's just to yourself, it's really, really powerful. I mean, I started traveling. I have the privilege to be able to do that, international travel, later in life, in my 50s.
That's so cool.
And it's a priority to do that. And creating this event with Alyssa, co-founding Cocktails and Conversations, which is a quarterly women's event. We're having something in Social Enterprise Greenhouse, really bringing incredible women together who are so innovative and they're entrepreneurial and building this community out. The web is just getting bigger and bigger. And I just encourage anyone, regardless of age, to go for something that they're really interested in exploring or passionate about. And they're all just mic drop.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's it.
And Denise has left the building.
Yes.
No, I love that too. I think the term for you is a micro influencer. Is that what they would call it?
Oh, yes. Oh my gosh. I'm kind of embarrassed to say that.
It's a weird term.
It is a weird thing. You know, I was in Scotland visiting my daughter, Lila, who goes to St. Andrews University in Scotland. She's a sophomore there. And I went to visit her. It was a couple of Octobers ago. And I was sitting in my flat and just kind of hanging out. And I'm like, you know, I want to do a little bit more in the Instagram space to show that, you know, this broad, older, I'm not, you know, hiding in a corner. I'm not going to fade away. Watch out. It's quite the contrary. So I changed my handle. So I'm like, does someone have this handle? The Adventure Broad?
I love that name.
And they did it. No one had it. I said, scooping that right up. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'm living a big life, one small adventure at a time. And I don't do the Instagram game. Okay. I don't do the formula, the algorithms, that all thing, blah, blah, blah. Right on. If people do that, right on. I do things like we're supposed to be doing videos now, right? And that can change, you know, in 10 minutes.
Yeah, it'll change tomorrow, right? Probably.
Right. And mm-hmm. But I don't. I like taking pictures and I like posting pictures and they don't get very far. I don't care. Right?
Yeah.
And I just like the creative expression and connecting with folks, and it might be three people and I'm okay with that.
I want to take a quick side note to your daughter. Did I see she was performing at the that very famous festival in
Fringe Fest?
Yes.
So,
wow,
yes.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Wow. So she was in a production in Fringe Fest. She is a theater kid, and she has actually has directed a few plays. So when she was at high school, she did at least one play that I'm drawing a blank on, but she did another one, Macbeth, a feminist version of Macbeth.
Oh,
I was so wishing I could be there. I was there just before the production, and I would have loved to have seen it, but she's so talented.
You must be so proud.
I am so over the moon proud. And, you know, she's been such an independent kid, so to like, oh, I'm going to college in another country. I mean, I would not really have been able to do that,
right?
Yeah.
Your little fun fact: your daughter and I went to college in the same school town that she went to high school in Vermont.
Yeah,
I remember that when we first
met
in Putney.
Yeah, yeah.
And you mentioned, I was like, oh, I know the Putney school.
I've
smoked a lot of weed on that road.
That's I'm sure my daughter did too. Yeah.
Well, and Putney, this funny thing about Putney is like a third, it's geographically large,
yes.
Very small town. A third of the roads are not paved.
Yes. So yes.
Sounds like Rhode Island.
No. Yeah. No, but like, yeah. Sorry. Mic drop.
Sorry. I was set up for that one.
But like literal dirt roads.
Yeah.
So our friends and jeeps, if you're in college in Vermont, we'd just go on blunt rides all day and it would just, you go explore. And one of the loots was the Putney School.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. How Rhode Island of you.
Yeah. I know. This is in Vermont too. And I'm from Connecticut of all things.
Yeah. Right.
You New Englander.
I know. I love that. Is Lila your inspiration to start acting too?
Yes. Thank you. So I, believe it or not, was so shy as a child. I don't know exactly what happened. A lot of things happened, but we don't have enough time to talk about that. But I was super, super, super shy. And I remember I auditioned for a play and I sucked at it so much. Oh my God. And I can feel the embarrassment just sitting here remembering it, sitting on the edge of the stage in the auditorium at Upper Perkiomen High School. And my scene partner was Bob Draper. Now, Bob was older. I believe he was a senior. I must have been a sophomore. Nice fella, super nice fella. And you know, more of an experienced theater guy. But in any event, I blew the scene. Blew it. I sucked, right? But he was so gentle and supportive. And then I never did any more theater again. Fast forward, my daughter, she's always had this performer element, and she did YouTube videos, Mermaid at Heart. She took them off online. I'm so bummed. But she would write and edit and produce and all that kind of stuff, and act, direct. And then she did theater. As a little wee one, and was so naturally talented at it. And she's always had performance and acting in her life. So now she's doing film studies at St. Andrews and she's doing theater there. And I've just always been in so much awe, her natural ease at being in front of people. And so I've been witnessing that. And then I decided, clickbait on Facebook, and I submitted for The Gilded Age, and I got a part. So, background: first season, last episode, ballroom, green dress.
Saw that picture.
Okay,
was at the Mansions recently for the Christmas, and they have like pictures of it. And one of the still shots, I could see you.
No way.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. You didn't take a photo of that.
I was with a very fussy daughter at the moment.
Oh, okay.
I wish I did, though. I would have.
Oh, my God.
My daughter was not having it.
She was like so over it. Yeah, that was the beginning of it. And then I had such an interesting time. I decided to make it a hobby. And then I was having so much fun. I said, you know what? I'm going to make this a part-time-ish career.
You're in a lot of stuff, I see. Like a lot of student films. Mostly, one of the things I saw you make a talk about this somewhere. It jumbles together. But I always think it's so interesting because you always were talking about how acting led you to be social with all different age groups. Because a lot of times you're always with your own pod and a lot of people, just human nature, the same age, same gender.
Oh, yeah. I'm usually with older white broads.
Yeah. Just happens. And then when you go and a project like that, there's children, there's elders, there's everyone, every gender class.
Yeah.
And then you become, and it's you and you're very social, then you become friends. And all of a sudden, like the 20-year-old and the, I forgot the 35-year-old. I forgot your age already.
59.
59.
5'9".
I don't want to shoot too high.
59. I say that proudly. I'm a 59-year-old woman.
And then you become friends. Like, and I think that's so cool. Because I love that. Like when I used to work retail, that was always my favorite. One of my favorite parts is like there would be someone who worked there like in their 60s. And we would become really good friends. And they're just, it's just fun talking to people who have different experiences and different stories. And I love it.
I love it too. And hanging out with the younger folks, because there's not a lot of folks who are my age on sets typically.
Yeah.
So when I get to work with college students or younger adults or what have you, it is great fun. And I have to say, I don't think I've had a crappy knock on for Mike situation yet on any set. There have been mixed experiences, but that's another podcast for another time. But all in all, it is super, super fun. And I've just been talking about this recently. When it starts feeling like a job, I'm out. Okay. I mean, I'll take getting paid. I did a bank commercial for Rockland Trust.
That's so cool.
It's so cool. I got when it's on TV. And so I get these messages from people. Oh my God, Janice, I was just watching TV. You were on that bank commercial. It's so much fun.
It's wild.
Yeah.
I learned this firsthand with the pod, when I had with Let's Chat with Chris Revel, my old podcast. I had gotten right up in like Vulture, Huffington Post. Amazing experience, right? Nothing happened. And then like no bumps, anything. It was really great for my one sheet, all that. I remember getting a write-up in like the Rhode Island Monthly or the Providence Journal or even honestly the Cranston Herald. Messages beyond. People are really, or I one time went to a dinner with a group of people for a birthday party, and one of the people's was the old news anchor Amanda Pitts. People would, like walk up to her while we're eating as if she was like a celebrity. I was like, but a lot of people.
Well, it's approachable. People are accessible.
Yeah.
It's not like Boston.
No, but people, a lot of people watch the local stuff. Like, I did not know that. Like, I mean, Providence Monthly. all of them, like you say, like, and it's cool because your commercial is going to be next to like every commercial. It's not Rhode Island specific.
I don't know how they run that whole thing, you know, but like how they distribute it. I don't know if it's, well, it has to be regional because the bank's not everywhere.
I could probably see you too. I'm going to watch Abbott Elementary tonight, season premiere. Very excited. Okay. There's a good chance that you're just going to be next to like a Nissan commercial. I'm like, oh my God, there's a Nissan.
I guess it could happen.
That's not even improbable.
No. You better take a picture this time.
I know.
Right?
Thank you for pointing that out. Mm-hmm.
I got you.
I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, that's why we're ganging up on you.
That was the hope. Well, that's really cool.
It's a lot of fun, and it's because I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea what I'm doing. So it is a journey of learning, which is really important to me. So every time I'm on a set, it's a new experience. Well, literally, because it's a different director and a different film project. But the experience is unique, and I am learning as I go and making friends in that community. I did audition for this one part. It's a lot of auditions. It's a numbers thing, right? But so I submit an audition. So the ratio, you know, of getting selected is interesting. But I saw that the casting director announced who got the part. So I reached out to that actor and I said, oh my gosh, congratulations on the part. I too auditioned. And if you ever want to get together and talk shop, I would love to talk with you. And she said, I'm game. So we went to Plant City, had an amazing lunch and yacked it up. And this gal, she's my age and she's been in Little Women. She was in The Holdovers.
The Greta one? The Greta
yes,
Little Women?
Yes. Yeah. So
should the Oscar nominee Greta should be Oscar nominee Greta Gerwig.
Yeah. So she's been doing a lot of the big, you know, big projects like that. And so to hear things from her from that perspective is helpful because, you know, I've got the Gilded Age, but also watching these film students make these things come alive, it's pure magic.
I wish we could look into a crystal ball to see the future and see of which of these like student films you are in.
Yes.
Who's the next like Greta Gerwig or Ryan Coogler? Like that's how everyone starts.
Well, there was, I was on a film project when in the early days, Miss Fortune. And the two gals who did that were absolutely amazing. And I'll tell you, the folks who are focused on doing a professional production, you know they're going to hit it out of the park because they're looking at it from a not only a creative thing, but looking at it as a not quite a business, if you will, but being professional in how you work with talent and crew is really, really helpful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So how with everything that you do, how do you balance it all?
I don't.
Hey, you have a business on top of that.
Oh, right. Nice. Yeah.
Yes, I have a business. I do online and offline marketing for women business owners. Well, here's the thing. And I don't have anyone at home. My kid's in another country. Okay. Mm. I don't have a partner by choice. All right. And so it's just me. So my obligations are the ones that I generate. Mm. And so I do a lot of stuff. Honestly, I probably could benefit with a little more focus on not so many things.
Yeah.
But I just had a sort of an aha moment relatively recently. I think it was my 59th birthday. Did I mention I'm 59? No, sorry.
I might remember.
But on my birthday, I said, okay, next year I'm turning 60.
Wow.
Right? So I said, oh, wow. I have about 20 good years and that's it. I mean, think about it. I mean, I might live past 80.
Yeah.
But come on. Yeah. You know, you can, well, things happen, you know, when you cross over that threshold, right?
Yeah.
Into your older years. So I thought to myself, okay, if I have two decades to, and that makes it sound longer. 20 years, not so much. You know what I mean? That is sobering. And I said, I'm not fucking around. Okay?
I love that.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
So when I see things, ideas come to mind, and I am an uber collaborator, I don't do anything alone except sleep.
Yeah.
that's by choice. Anyway. I'm always collaborating with someone on something. It's so much more fun to do it that way. So I'm just getting it done as much as I can.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
I love that. And it's also like because you're collaborating so much, do you draw inspiration from who you're like collaborating with?
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, working on the Dames of Rhode Island, I'm working with a gal named Nikki. We did a table reading at the Lonely Seal International Film Festival in Arlington, Massachusetts, a few months back. My first and last table reading. No, maybe I'll do another one, but it's too much like live theater. Even though I had the script, I was scared. Oh my gosh. Anyway, she was also on that table reading. And then we ran into each other because we're both members of the Women in Film Video New England. And so we were at the annual meeting and started yakking. And she's an actor as well and a playwright. And so we started talking. I just love her energy as well. And I said, hey, I have this project. Maybe we can make it into a play. So she's like, okay. So we are collaborating on bringing this story, The Dames of Rhode Island, to stage. Hopefully this year. Yeah, that's what we're looking at. Yeah.
Congratulations. Do you feel feel like a connection or very similar, like not focused, want to do a lot of things?
Yeah. Yep.
Is it safe to say that you're undiagnosed ADHD?
Possibly. I think I developed it later in life. Well, is that possible?
It's different in women. It shows up differently in women, and there's I got diagnosed when I was like in first grade.
Okay.
So we talk about it all the time.
So okay. I, because of TikTok during the pandemic, I'm like, oh, that's what is going on with me. I am like full blown ADHD, like to a T.
Gotcha.
But I was just going through life.
Highly functional. Like it didn't really.
Oh, no, it did. It affected. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, they're like, oh, that's just Jenna. I'm like, okay.
A lot
of people don't understand ADHD because it affects everyone differently. It's just a dopamine deficiency. So essentially, you're a dopamine addict.
That's, oh my God, that's me.
That's why we're always jumping to project a thing, and we give up on lots of things.
Oh,
a lot of people got diagnosed because of TikTok.
Exactly. Yeah, literally.
And actually, both Jen and I both made life changes from different careers too. That's I've always found you very inspiring because for me, it was like later in life, but I was 38 where I left my career in healthcare to go eventually do this kind of, eventually end up here. And, you know, Jenna, well, you tell your story because
it's
fascinating. I think so.
It's kind of wild.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, okay. So I am like kind of like you where I need to like keep learning, keep kind of growing. If I want to do something different, I'm just going to go for it. And so went to school did my undergrad and my master's in Rhode Island for teaching, taught kindergarten ESL for 7 years. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I'm not happy. Like, I just need to do something different. So put my head down, just started upskilling on my own. After like 4 months, I got this job.
I love, dare I say the P word, pivots. I do.
I love a good pivot. Yeah, because it's.
We got to make that a theme. I do love a good pivot too. I never thought of myself as being one of those people. I was like, I work in healthcare and I have stability and why would I do anything else? And like, I've never considered myself creative and the podcast was always just to be a hobby.
Oh,
and
wow. Like, that's surprising to me.
None of that stuff ever. Like, I also very shy as a child. Like, I feel very, I was like, yeah, oh, yeah, that tracks for me too. Like, I feel, I'm like, no, I actually think I feel cooler now at 38 than I did when I was like in my 20s.
Well, let me ask you both. Let me just turn the tables here.
Let me ask
you some questions. As you spend more time on the earth, do you feel your confidence building?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Like thinking before, like how you just go up to people and ask like, hey, let's collaborate. If you asked me to do that like 3 years ago, I would have been like, I can't. Like I'm absolutely terrified, did not have the confidence for it. But actually, since the pivot, it's really just raised my confidence because it was something new. I had no idea what I'm doing. Sometimes now I'm like, what am I doing? Sorry, Nick. But, you know, it really like, I just put my head down. I'm like, okay, I need to learn this if I want to like be good at my job. So you just got to do it. And it does really bring a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I would say so too. I tried a lot of it with therapy as well. It was very helpful, but yeah, and especially like, I don't think I could have done sales a few years ago. Like I never thought like now I have to walk into a place and like I walk into small businesses and try to like connect with people. And like I used to have actually a backup. That's kind of a funny story. So I just moderated a panel at Lit Arts last week. And we were all chatting beforehand. I was like, it's funny. When I was in high school and college, I did everything to avoid public speaking. Like if I had to do a presentation in college, I would have an anxiety attack. I would be shaking. And now it's like, I go out of my way to do it. Like you know, we both presented at like Pachaka Chow or something. And I still get very nervous, but could never. Actually, Chris will tell you different. He took a lot of talking me in to do that because I wasn't where I am now. But yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I feel like I'm way more confident now. I think also having once Felicity was born too, it was just like, well, I worked in mental health for so long. So I remember when I had the interview here, they're like, well, how would you deal with rejection if you go into a place and someone slams the door on you or whatever? Okay. And like straight face, I was like, you know, as long as no one dies, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like I'm like,
yeah, literally.
I almost regretted it. Thank God I got hired. Thank you, Shelly. I actually said to them straight in my interview to Shelly, straight face. I was like, once you talk someone off of a ledge where they're holding
literally
nothing
compares.
And she's like, really? I was like, well, it was a window seal, but yeah. And she's just okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's interesting as we live our lives, when we live them more and more fully, it's like little baby steps of risk taking.
Yeah.
And it starts building up the foundation. And when I moved here, not knowing anyone, the trajectory for my confidence soared. Because it's like, oh, I just did a major risk. I took a major risk moving cross country. I had some resources, so there was some psychological safety in that. It wasn't like I had $5 in my pocket, right? But still, you know, it's huge. Like, I don't know what it's going to be like. What if it sucks? Then what? Then I have to start again, blah, 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 blah. But fortunately, it was the most amazing experience, and it was clearly the right decision. And then as these things happened, I'm like, okay, I was a nonprofit professional for 20,000 years, and I kept my job before we all had to have remote. I was still working for my job, nonprofit in Portland. And when it came time to interview for jobs, I was interviewing for development director jobs, blah, blah. I started having nightmares about going to prison. And I think I had like two or three nights. I'm like, why do I keep dreaming or having nightmares about going to prison? I said, oh, if I get another job in a dysfunctional nonprofit, I'm going to feel like I'm in prison, or I'm going to kill someone and I'm going to go to prison. And I'm like, okay, I need to make some different choices.
Yeah.
And then there were a couple of great things that lined up. And I said, you know what? I'm going to take my side hustle as a consultant and I'm going to become an LLC. And I'm doing this full time. And so that was in September 2019. Wow. I officially became, you know, an LLC or whatever with the state. And it has been amazing. Not the easiest, but I'll tell you right now. Now you're getting me going. You're telling you right now, as an older woman, try getting a job.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The gender ageism is astounding, or not so astounding, but. Yeah. And that started happening in my 40s. Ugh. Suffered through that. And then when this opportunity came up, I said, oh, actually, I can use my age to my advantage. Because people, in my mind, when you're working with a consultant, you're expecting that they're a more seasoned professional.
Yeah.
They've been around the block a few times.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, okay, I'm going to do that. And that is the secret sauce. So I'm like on this mission to encourage women, second act women is what I call them. I didn't come up with that term, but to say, listen, we need to take care of ourselves, not leaning on someone else to ensure the bills are going to be paid and our financial independence, blah, blah. We need to make sure we have the wherewithal to be able to do that. So if you think about, I don't want to answer to the man anymore. I want to answer to Denise. And my clients, to a certain
extent. You're like, I'm obligated.
No, I love my clients, most of them. But having that power to call the shots, plan your day, determine how you're going to do your day, who you're going to work with, what you're going to do, it is unbelievable. And I always get this expression wrong. My worst day as a solopreneur far exceeds 100 times my best day as a traditionally employed person. And here's the other thing too. I'm a non-degreed professional. So I did not go to college. I went to a couple of chemistry classes. I could have been a brilliant chemist, but it didn't happen. That was not my journey. So my professional career has been all woman made, you know, and we're, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, and I'm not putting out college at all by any stretch. That just was not an option for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, my daughter said to me, you know, Mom, I am so proud of you. And that's just like, oh, my God. Yes. You know, she knows a little bit about my, don't cry. Because if you cry,
I'm we're all crying.
Oh, my God. There are tissues in here. Thank goodness. But she knows a little bit about my childhood and my upbringing and that I didn't go to college and stuff like that. But she recognizes, you know, I've owned my own home and I live a fabulous life and it's a very full life with its ups and downs. And here I am still standing.
I love that.
Yeah.
I have a daughter now, so I'm just super sensitive to any sort of daughter stuff. I'm like, oh my God, it kills me. It's just like, oh, I know it's God, kids are the best.
Yeah, most times.
Most
yeah, yeah.
times
for that.
As I'm like, yeah, I can't teach anymore. That's wild. Depends on the day.
We love the children most days.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good way to put it. I never thought if you had a degree or not, but when you said that, that was very surprising to me.
Well, why was it surprising? Let's psychoanalyze that.
Well, at least, now, yeah.
Well, it's an interesting thing because my opinion of this is, and I'm generalizing, and so very much generalizing, our culture is, oh, there's like this class thing, college educated, and if you're not college educated, there's something maybe not quite right about you, or, you know. But what about tradespeople? Hello.
They all make more than me.
Right.
Okay. But I mean, it's not easy being a tradesperson.
No.
Like an HVAC person or a plumber or an electrician. Those people are smarter than me. Okay. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yet, I don't think they're typically put on the same playing field, you know. And I'm of the third camp, life experience. So I have gone through a variety of careers over my years. I had a long career in community media. I've been in nonprofit. I did some for-profit work in the early days. Banks suck.
I can only
imagine. I work in a bank again. If you work in a bank, I'm so sorry.
Only commercials.
Nice one. Yes. Oh, my God.
See, I told you she's a natural. This is what, your fourth podcast you've ever
yeah
heard? That was a good one. Yeah,
thank
well
you
done, well done, well played. But life experience is so rich too that it brings so much value. I think all of us bring very unique things to the table of life, and that sounds so philosophical.
No, I love that. Now, since this is a podcast about Rhode Island and we're getting towards the end of it,
yeah,
we got to ask the questions we always love. Places to eat, because I know your fellow
foodies. Oh.
Stop it. Okay. All right. So I do a thing called Dames Who Dine with Melissa. You can follow her on Instagram at In The Road. She's so funny. She's a very clever content creator. And you can also follow us at Dames Who Dine, R-I. Yes. And so we go out to different places. So I'm not going to pick a favorite, but I will tell you about my most recent.
That's a good one.
Perfect.
Favorite's too hard.
So she's in the know. She's OG, meaning she was born and raised here, and I'm the newbie. So she has like a finger on the pulse, right? Mm. She knows things.
Yeah.
She knows a guy, all right? And anyway, she said, you know, there's going to be this pop-up at Lewis's restaurant over near Thayer. It's a diner and a lot of the college kids go there. But in the evening, there was going to be this Cuban pop-up. Mm. So we went and OMG. I want to say it was El Colibra, I believe is the name of it. And the pork was out of this world. She had the Cubano. I had the pork dinner. It was phenomenal. And we had some nice little glass of wine, bunch of different people in there enjoying this food, super friendly. That was fun. So having good food with good company is the way to do it.
If I remember correctly, I saw you at Stanley's Famous Hamburgers semi-recently.
Oh my God. That was with Melissa. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you been there?
No. What is it?
It's in Central Falls.
Yes.
It's like you took a page out of the 1950s, maybe.
Yes.
It's just it's stuck in time. It's just classic Americana, and the food is just has no right to be as good as it is.
Yeah.
It's okay, so I have to go.
Yeah.
To Stanley's?
Right now. You guys continue. I will be at
We should totally
Stanley's.
Make a Providence Monthly reason to go there. So do you have any like regular spots coffee wise?
I go to Sin Desserts. Yeah, Oh my gosh, I forgot to give them props. They're donating cupcakes to She PVD.
Oh.
And so Sin, I go there often when I have meetings.
Did you
or
West
work
Side
on
Diner?
Projects. Pardon?
Do you ever go to the West Side Diner?
Yeah, of course.
I love that. We still drive. I live in Warwick now. We still drive up there.
Yeah.
It's so good.
All the time.
Yeah. So the diner. So this is not related, but sort of related. So, you know, we have all these speakeasies.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. So when my friends, Ceci and Shelly, moved here from Portland, Oregon, I think I might have been kind of a reason they did. No, actually, well, I was a bonus point. They wanted, yeah. They were checking out a number of communities. And thankfully, they ended up in Providence. Anyway, when they moved here, I said, we're going to go on a speakeasy slide.
Ooh. Love
and
that.
And so we went to the Cortland Club. We went to Julian. No, what
Justine's.
Justine's. We stopped in a Sin. I mean, it's not really speakeasy, but it's a nice little small little bar. And they have a they have a bar there. And we ended up eating at New York's Olneyville, New York yeah. System.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my yeah. God. Talk about good burgers and right? French fries.
And I didn't know that's not the original one. The Smith Street one is the first one.
I didn't know that.
Fun fact, the singer of the Talking Heads used to work at the Smith Street one.
No way.
Yeah, he confirmed it in a Stereogum article.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Right.
Did you ever been to Smith, Bodega on Smith?
No.
It's really cool. It's like it's a bodega.
Uh-huh.
And at night, it turns into a speakeasy. And you have to walk around to the kitchen. And it's beautiful in the back.
What? Okay. I'm making a note here. Right?
They're really good. One of my favorite parts of this job, Jen and I both have this thing. We get to go explore and meet all these awesome people and find all these great places.
Yeah.
Because I would never have found it. But yeah.
And it's Bodega on Smith?
Yeah, I believe that's the name.
Okay, I'll Google
They're
it later.
Super nice. Okay. Really beautiful in the back. But you have to like walk through a deli,
yeah.
Open the door, and then there's a bodega. And then they have a nice outside.
Uh-huh. Have you been to the Walnut Room?
No, what's that?
So that's over near Plant City. You can't see this on the podcast, but here's the Wild Colonial down here. Well, up here, is that Main Street, North Main?
Yeah.
Main? It's the Walnut Room.
Huh.
It's really beautiful. Oh, and what's the place over on the, oh, shoot. It has the.
Oh, the Avery.
Avery. Yeah. That's another good one.
I love it
you
in there.
You do Avery and Deadbeats, and that's a nice little back and forth.
So, wait
it
a minute.
It used to be E&O, but now it's Deadbeats.
What? So you sent me about your podcast thingy at Deadbeats.
Yeah, we're doing a meetup there.
So where's Deadbeats?
Night Street.
I'm going to have to Google that.
It used to be E&O, Early and Out. And then it's like a punk horror theme bar. They have like an old Ronald McDonald.
This is why I don't know about it. It's nothing against horror or punk.
I hate horror personally.
Yeah.
But that is a good way to describe it. Yeah.
They make their own Ecto cooler.
Oh my gosh.
Actually,
and it's right near the Avery-ish?
Yeah, you walk there.
Interesting.
Ogies too. Actually,
Ogies.
I have been finding myself that I'm about 10 years too old for certain places at certain hours.
Yeah.
Ogies is kind of one for me now. I'm like, maybe I'll go to your classic Simpson trivia, but after that, I don't know if I'm your.
I will go at any age for those tater tots.
Oh my god!
Granny Boo Boo's Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love the decor in Ogies.
Yeah,
that was something surprising when I first moved here when I met Victoria. Like. I never had been to a city that had so many places without signs on it and like secret restaurants and like speakeasies. Like I grew up in like Central Connecticut.
Right.
I remember she took me to it's now gone, but the Red Fizz. Oh. And they used to be there and there's no sign. You just had to know it was a red door or even like Red Stripe. I mean, it's very clearly labeled a restaurant, but like there's no sign. It's just
I never took notice of that.
Oh, yeah. The Avery, too. You would not know that.
No, no, not at all. It's like a house.
It's a house.
Well, and the Cortland Club, right?
Yeah. I've been in the Cortland Club walking outside of it. I couldn't tell you which one it is.
The first time when I got there, I'm looking. I'm like, okay, it says it's right there. Where? And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to open the door and hope nothing
Hope for the
happens.
Best. Yeah.
And I opened the door and I'm like, is this the Cortland Club? And they're like, come on in.
Mm.
And you know, they have a membership at Cortland Club. Do you know about that?
No, actually, I don't think
I did.
And you get a free drink
a little
every
bit
month.
I didn't know about the free drink, though.
Yeah.
That changes a lot.
Yeah, you might want to check that out.
Yeah.
Well, there's, I was looking, you know, the Santander.
Oh, yeah.
On the hill. There's a speakeasy.
No.
Behind it.
No.
According to the map.
What's it called?
It is called Crush Speakeasy Lounge.
See, my job is to know this stuff, and I never heard of it.
So many things.
I'm like, there's a speakeasy in a bank?
That bank right on. Oh, my God.
Because there's a speakeasy in Warwick, too, on Jefferson Boulevard. It's like a Mexican restaurant, and at night, the basement is a speakeasy. I haven't been to it. I don't remember the name of it.
Oh, my gosh. There's got to be a directory somewhere.
But that's what's so fun. just as a like as a business, like I became a business owner in January, like you. But like I think about like, and my whole job is like market, 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 and a speakeasy is like the opposite,
right? They don't.
So like it makes no sense to me. It's like
someone has to put together the secret directory of speakeasies. Yeah, in Rhode Island. If you are listening to this podcast right now, please send us a link. Send it in.
You think Abby would do that? We should pitch that to Abby.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That could be fun and go out and explore them.
Yeah. Oh, that I can do. I will gladly send me to anyone.
Okay. Hold on. Melissa, a new group, Dames Who Drink. Yes.
That's- Ooh, I like that.
I'm joining.
I would love it that like got to the point where it gets out of control. Eventually it's Dames Who Do Rehab. I just keep that brand going.
Oh my gosh.
So you can tell I'm a former drug counselor.
Yeah.
Well, actually, speaking of drugs, but I was listening today to another podcast and they were saying like microdosing is now in. So it's like Dames Who Microdose.
What's microdosing?
Mushrooms. It's very therapeutic.
So psychedelic drug, and there's a name for it, is really for health.
Oh, like, it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Yeah. So now people
there's
are
a bill in Rhode Island to make it legal here.
Yeah, they're just instead of like taking something that like gives them serotonin for depression, they're just microdosing.
Okay. I think this is
ketamine as well. Okay. Well, the national basically a lot of the stuff pharmaceutical companies have blocked this research.
Of course.
All these chemicals are in your brain. Like you know, they call it, you know, the God particle when you're born and you die, the DMT, I can't remember, detra, whatever, it gets released when you're born.
I have not a clue what you're talking about.
Right there with your sister.
It's called the God particle. It's fascinating. But like, so when you're born and when you die, your brain is just flushed with, I have to look up the name, DMT. But like your body can naturally produce opioids, psilocybin is in your, like all that, all, that's like a lot of veterans have, it's fascinating. So a lot of these things, there's ketamine. I actually have a friend who's in a recovery for alcohol abuse and is doing ketamine and it's doing wonders.
Wow.
Best place to refer anyone if you're semi-interested in this stuff, because I love drug therapy. Yeah. I guess now it's a hobby, because there's a great series on Netflix called The Mind Explained.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I saw that.
And they do an episode about hallucinogenics.
Okay.
And it's fascinating because it treats anxiety. Like, imagine if I didn't have to take bupropion every day. Mm-hmm. You know how much money I would save?
Oh, right.
Well, hello. No surprise the pharmaceuticals don't want the natural stuff. So I know a guy in Oregon. He, Nathan Howard, I believe his name is. He and his brothers, they grow marijuana. So they were ahead of that game. They have a huge farm in rural Oregon. But he's also very involved in this whole discussion about using this type of treatment for all kinds of care. And I think, don't quote me on this, we'll have to Google it later, but I think Portland or Multnomah County, the county that Portland's in, passed some legislation or something like that to legalize it or something.
Like Colorado did too.
Okay, maybe. I don't take drugs. Not that there's anything wrong with anyone who takes drugs, but well, I don't do
that's
it.
That's what the best part about it is. You're doing it like, if you want to or not, your body does it for you.
Yeah, look at that.
I always think that's so fascinating. Like, I know a lot of straight edge people who don't drink or do drugs. I'm like, no, don't worry, you've had opiates in you.
Yeah.
You're like saying it like a threat. You're like, don't worry. Yeah.
They're going to get you.
Well, I think a lot of like pre-industrial world, that was a lot of that stuff was used anyway, like peyote, all that stuff. I've never actually done any of that stuff. I would like to, but I have a heart condition, so I don't want to do anything illegally. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the law, but I don't want to die.
Right.
So like if I go buy it off the street, I don't have a safe way to buy it. Yeah. Like I have a medical card. Now it's legal in Rhode Island, so that's really nice because I don't have to worry about
getting crappy.
Yeah.
Laced stuff.
What's that stuff that keeps killing everyone?
Oh,
fentanyl.
Fentanyl.
Doesn't really pop up in the weed, but anyway.
So how did we get from CPD to
We're gonna be microdosing at CPD this week.
No, we're not.
Dames Who Microdose.
Dames Who Microdose. I think this is a great brand. Dames Who Drug.
Oh, wow.
Well, the usage of older adults.
I'm not leading that chapter. I mean, again, I sound so judgy, but that's not it. I don't do drugs.
Yeah.
I drink, but that's my
alcohol's a drug.
Yeah, that's my drug of choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the largest usage of cannabis users now are people over 50.
You know, it's a miracle is a, can I say miracle drug? I guess, you know, yeah. It is so powerful, hemp and all the marijuana and da da da, all incredible. Of that stuff. It is amazing for anxiety, for other acute health issues. Sleeping. I'm not a health person, professional, but from what I hear, I know people who have MS, so they use marijuana to navigate that, and it's really helpful.
Certain strains are very good for certain ADHDers.
Yeah.
Like if I have a good pure sativa, like I don't get high, but I just get very focused.
Okay.
And my body just feels nice. Oh. And I need to sleep. I do some indica. So
a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and yeah. You're good to go.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I just want to have a really good meal and talk with people.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what it all comes down to.
You know, there is a group, speaking of which, as another experience, they do kitchen talks. Did you see my post about that?
No.
Let me give you their handle. It's this couple. They do pop-up restaurants at, or, you know, eating experiences. And yeah. Let me just look very quickly. They did a thing called Kitchen Talks at the Dye House. Oh. And it was more of an hors d'oeuvre kind of thing. And the spread was out of this world.
Wow.
And they had three signature drinks. One was a mocktail and two, you know, were alcoholic drinks. And there were probably about 10 or 15 of us there. Great music. And the food was out of this world.
As before we start to wrap it up, Jenna, do you have any... thing that we missed that you wanted to hit on? If you think of any last questions, Jenna, but if you don't have one, I guess I would actually love to help if you can maybe provide some advice for anyone out there for any age of, mm-hmm. I don't know, it's just so inspiring to see someone just go out there and volunteer and do things. So what would you do for a shy person out there doing Ooh. That, ready to go joining an event? Any advice for us nervous types?
Baby steps, I think. I mean... Mm. You know, I didn't go from shy, unshy overnight. You know, it was a life journey. But baby steps, and no matter what, it's going to be fine. No matter what. Let me give you an example. So I got called in for an audition, open call at Boston University, and I have to bring headshots in, and, you know, it's like the real deal kind of thing. And memorize a little short monologue, and I have 15 minutes to do it, you know, boom, boom, boom. Well, when I got the email about it, I started freaking out, right? I'm like, what am I can't, I have to go to Boston, I have to get those headshots. Oh my God, I can't memorize three lines. What do you mean? I'm a background actor, you know, da 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 da. And then I heard the voice, Denise, you'll get the pictures, you'll do the best you can, and if you suck, oh well.
Yeah. Right? Like,
you don't get selected. Or, you know what I mean?
Easy.
And it's really that easy. And have you heard of the book, The Success Principles?
No.
So it's this older white guy, Jack Canfield. But, and it's very dated. And just, you know, you have to take everything in this world with a grain of salt. But
yeah.
I'm listening to it and I'm reading it with some girlfriends. He is talking about rejection. Because think of it this way. I am auditioning for a part, for example. Before I do, I don't have that part. I audition. I don't get it. Guess what's on the other end? I don't have that part. Is there anything different?
Yeah.
Right.
And it's sort of very refreshing to kind of, it's, you know, it's a thing you have to practice thinking about. So
I love that.
I'll borrow his expression, reject rejection, go out and do it. If you mess up, oh, well.
Yeah. There's always tomorrow. Well, but yeah, there's always tomorrow.
For right now.
Depends on the situation. Please don't quote me.
Yeah.
You could wake up dead tomorrow.
I know. Yeah. As I start saying it, I'm like, oh, why'd you open your mouth?
That's why rejection sensitivity is something strong with the ADHD people, too.
Yeah.
I'm in sales, and Shelly was like, taught me everything. She's like, all right, just got to go fall on your face.
Yeah.
Yep. It's so hard. I think that's, yeah.
And that whole thing, that's another conversation. This fear, which is not real, of failure. Mm. Why is failure so bad? And I think it's our culture is terrified of failure. And that feeds into a whole different line of conversation here. But I think the more we embrace the failure, and I have fucked up plenty of times, two marriages, that's two. But, you know, or wrong job. turn the wrong corner, you know, whatever, whatever. But I'm here and I'm grateful that I'm here. And I learned from that.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on. This has been so fun.
This was a blast and a half. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Did she come back?
Yes.
Yeah. We'll put you on our yeah.
Maybe we can talk about food and drinking. Yeah. And drugs. Drinking, drugs, and food. We need another word for food.
But we were at the panel the other night. One of the questions was like about podcasts and stuff. And I was like, for me in life, it's the three C's: collaboration, community, and cannabis. And I was like, oh no, I wasn't supposed to say that last one out loud. I was like, oops.
Oh no. There you go. There you go.
Oh, thank you so much. Make sure we hit stop.
Well, do you want to, before that?
Oh yeah. That's why you're here.
Let her plug. Your website, everything.
I think Jenna's here.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Right.
So you can find me at theadventurebroad.com, and that's my site that has all the things and backlinks. But I also want to give a shout out to our performers at SheePVD, if I may.
Yes, please.
Okay. I meant to do that in the
How
beginning.
Thoughtful is that, though? I love that.
So Allison Callery, who's a singer in Rhode Island, Christina Liu, she's a poet, Val Tutson, storyteller, Alicia Pratt, poet. Then we have a group from the Providence Improv Guild coming, and that's Katie Booker, Chloe Kellner, Catherine Mendez, Julie Shukan, Kelly Shiloh, and Rachel Winslow. And then we also have Becky Bass, who plays the steel drum. And I'm just going to put this out in the universe. I'm pretty sure we're going to have Christine Martel. She's a singer. Sorry, pianist. She plays keyboard, I believe. She is also going to perform. So I'm stage managing. God has helped me. I pull that off because that's a lot of talent.
Shout out to Alyssa, who couldn't make it today.
Yes.
Sorry, Alyssa.
Props to Alyssa.
We'll plan one. We'll do one down. We'll plan it on her schedule so we can do it. We'll have you come back together.
Okay, that'd be
and
great.
And we'll see her thoughts on microdosing.
Right. We'll title that one, Dames Who Microdose.
Dames who microdose and dames who are out of jobs. I love that. Thank you so much.